Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
Oh. All right. Well, that was a request, and so there you go. I have sung that dumb song everywhere. I've sung it at four funerals. I sung that at John and Pam's wedding out on Lake St. Clair by the big ship before we did the beautiful sunny day and wonderful, respectful moment, and they had me sing that song. And there's a reason, okay? Don't be offended. We take the Lord very seriously. We are called to not take ourselves too seriously, right? There's nothing worse than Christians who act self-righteous. We are people who have received the mercy and grace of God because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ and nothing we have done. It was a free gift. I know that's right. That's right. Anyhow, let's pray together before we read the scripture, shall we, in Ephesians 2. Lord, here we all are. We're your people. This is your book. No person can know the needs of others. Holy Spirit, you know what each of us needs. And we ask you to help us. Thank you for being here among us, like you promised, Jesus. Whenever we gather together, even just two or three in your name, there you are in that special sense in our midst. So we thank you for this, and we depend on it. Thank you. Open your word. Help us. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. You have always known verses 8 and 9, probably not verse 10. Let's take them together. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this, not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Isn't that interesting that they would talk about works not being able to save us, but yet we're created for good works? That's an interesting statement, isn't it? The fact of the matter is this: forgiveness is a free gift that you and I cannot earn. If it's not free, we would all be lost. The Apostle Paul, who, by the way, was a ruthless man, he had to deal with this ongoing guilt in his life of having murdered people for his religious beliefs. He was a member of the Jewish ruling council in the first century, and he was going around looking for people who followed this way of Jesus. And he locked him up in prison and had some killed. And even all those years later, after Jesus had apprehended him and he became a believer and wrote these books of the Bible for us and all of us, he would still say, I am the least. I'm the worst sinner of all. I persecuted the church. The pictures of those men, women, and children were still in his mind. It's something we continually have to remember, that we're forgiven, right? You know, in this room, we've got some stories that we don't want to say publicly because they're so brutal and so awful of some of the things we have done in our past lives. But Jesus has forgiven us freely by his sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection. In fact, we can't earn it on our own. The scriptures are very clear. You remember what Isaiah said in chapter 64 when he quotes the Lord, that all our righteousness are like filthy rags. We can't offer our own good deeds to try to make up for this because we're already lost. And so God sent his son because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ, that Paul wrote in Romans. And you know all about it. Well, now, it shows us that after we have come to Christ, we do good stuff. In fact, we've been created for this, to do good works. It's a good and right thing, but I want you to know, doing good stuff does not earn your salvation. Good works are not the source of God forgiving us, God's grace forgiving us. It is the fruit of the fact that we've already been forgiven. We've already trusted in Christ. So when you trust in Christ, you're now called to this life of doing good in this world for others. Let me just give you a couple of points from verse 10, because it's so interesting. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I'm going to make four simple points today. Let me give you the first one. Number one is this. You are God's idea. You were created, it says. We are God's workmanship. Literally, Pastor Gall says in the Greek, poema, where we get our word poem from, God is making something beautiful out of you. You're a work of art as far as he is concerned. He thought you up. He thought the way you look. He gave you your gifts. He gave you your interests. Everything that puts you to this point today, he has given to you as a gift. He's working on you. He's developing you. You are God's workmanship. Michelangelo used to look at a block of stone, and he would say, there's an angel in there. I'm going to find him. And he would start removing pieces of stone until the angel was revealed. He knows that we're a bunch of old rough cobs, as my grandpa used to say. But he is creating something beautiful. That old Bill Gates theater song, something beautiful, something good, all my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful of my life. That's what he's doing. You are God's workmanship, and it's the idea of his handwork, fine work, that he's doing in each of our lives. You are God's idea. You know, God says of his people, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to hurt you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That whole idea, I have plans for you. Very important that we understand it. So, I want you to turn over with me to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. So the first point is you are God's idea and you've got a decision to make. Psalm 139. Let me read what the psalmist wrote, King David, about his own being, about how he was created. Psalm 139, verse 13. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Did you see that he accepted what God made of him? There's a big key here. We look at our lives. You know, we always compare ourselves to everybody else, right? It's so easy. At every walk of life, no matter where you are, you have friends that, you know, it's easy to be jealous of because of what they have or what they've become or what they do or any of that stuff. We got to get our eyes off all of that and look at the simple point that we are God's workmanship. He created us. We are his idea. And we got to get to the point where we say we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I mean, it blows me away, the details of my human body, of my spirit, of what I am. You created me like this, Lord. We have to get to the point where we can say with David, I know it well. I know that full well. It's a step of faith, really. I don't feel like much. You don't either. We struggle with ourselves all the time. But we have to look in the mirror and say, God has created you for this moment. And go live our day. Roger Campbell used to pray a prayer. Think your thoughts through me. Do your works through me. And all of that. Today, may I be a blessing to someone. He did that. We need to look in the mirror and say, I am God's idea. All right? God knows what he's doing. This is not a feeling about yourself. It's a choice about yourself. If you're going to do good in this world, if you're going to do God's work in this place, you have got to accept the fact that you're his idea and not beat yourself up all the time. You got that? Point one. Number two, let me just say this to those of you who think you can make it on your own. You can't. You can't become this on your own. There's so many that think that they can change the world for the better, but they don't want to give their life to Jesus. They want to somehow muscle it on their own. It says very simply in Ephesians, for you are God's workmanship. Now notice how it's qualified. You are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Do you see this? You are an empty shell without him. You are cut off from a relationship with God if you have not received Christ. And so you might think that you're going to live this great life of making a difference in this world, but I'm telling you, you're only half a person till you know him. I mean, the fullness of knowing Jesus is such a beautiful thing. Humans are amazing, even though we're in this lost condition. But we can't do this on our own. You can't go by your own intuition. It was Jeremiah who said, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? If I think I'm just going to follow my own feelings about stuff, my own inclinations, I'm going to lead myself in the wrong direction because my heart's deceitful. We need a relationship with the real God, with the God of the Bible, because we just mess it up. We need to begin by making Christ Lord of our lives. The source for a meaningful contribution to the lives of other people begins with one step, and that is surrendering our lives to Jesus. It's very important. Hey, Ed, would you tell your story for just a second for us? You feel up to that? Come on, man. Ed, usually, come on out there. You relax, brother. Okay? I'm proud of you. So Ed usually sits in the back. I got him on the front row today.
Yes. So just, you know that's a bad thing.
That's right. But Ed's been part of the church for a good while now, and we're proud of him. But he just has a story of a change in his life. Go ahead, tell this.
Okay. Well, thank you for your patience. I'll say that right up front. And after that last song, this is mildly appropriate.
That's right. That's so that's right.
I could stand up here and go on for hours about broken relationships, wrecked cars, nights in jail, etc. And I can make my life sound like it's been all muscatel and whoopee cushions. But it's actually been more like Days of Wine and Roses for those of you who remember that movie. It's a tough one, but it's a true one. But this is not about me. It's about my life and how God has worked to in my life to save me. If just one person here today hears something that helps them, then thank God for that. You know, I had to type this out because left to my own devices, I can make my life sound like it's been great, but it hasn't. And when Pastor Tom asked me to say a few words, you know, my first reaction was no. But he's been such a dear friend and such a great pastor that you can't say no because he knows sometimes better what's for me than me. So, and I appreciate that. And Lori, I don't know if Lori is here, but a couple of months ago when you shared part of your story we talked afterwards and I said that I certainly wish I had the courage to do that. And I always thought I might do it here, but it would be maybe to the men's group, you know, not to people with clean clothes and things, you know. It's like, so fast forward to today. Let me start by saying that every male in our family has had problems with alcohol. And we were raised in a Southern Baptist home with all the guilt you can handle, so it just makes it worse. But when I was 14, my father, who at age 49, choked to death from an asthma attack while he was at work. And he had let his health kind of decline due to his drinking. And that was a turning point in my life. I was so angry that I decided to take it out on me and, for whatever reason, my mother, who, by the way, was left with four teenage children. So not a pleasant trip for her either, but she was a good Christian woman who, I miss her every day. But somewhere during that period after my dad passed away, I decided to take up drinking myself. I was as successful as the long line before me. Probably should mention that I had a brother who at 29 was killed in a car accident. And he and his friend were both stoned and drunk. So in the late 80s, I was at a point in my life that I had to give it up or die too. And I heard about a guy at work. His name was Bill, and I can share his name because he's passed away now. But he became a very, very dear friend. But the thing at work, you heard that he was easy to talk to, and he was trustworthy. So I sought him out, and you know, we had many conversations, but I was still drinking. And he didn't care. He didn't care that I was still drinking. He said, you'll get it someday. Just, you know, you'll be fine. But after one particular binge in 1989, I woke up in the house of a girl that I knew from work, and she had already called my sister and told her what was going on. So my sister and my brother-in-law got in the car and were driving down to Dayton, Ohio, which is where I lived at the time. And I asked my friend if she could call Bill and see if he could come over, which he did come over, thank God. I was not giving in too easily to his solution as to what I needed to do. So at one point in the conversation, Bill said, "Ed, your best thinking has gotten you right where you are. Why don't you let go and let God take it from here?" And I did. And it changed my life. You know, it was not an easy change, but that statement floats around in my head every day when I think, you know, it's things are bad. They're not bad. I've been very blessed, and even more so since giving up alcohol. But that was a little over 30 years ago, and I thank God for putting Bill in my life, and I try to help others when asked. I don't assume I know more than I do, but if someone has a problem, I will absolutely try to help them. Life is not perfect, but I've made many amends since those days, and I continue to look forward for what God has in store for me. So, thanks for listening.
God bless you. Yeah, thanks, Ed.
Thank you, Ed. That is beautiful, man. Beautiful. And so we have to accept the fact that God created us. But the second thing is this, we need Jesus, all right? You're not going to become the person that you can become unless you know Christ. We always talk about heaven and hell here, about the spiritual implications of it. But I'm talking about even in this world, in your functioning in this world. So listen, give it up. We know historically that Jesus died for us and was resurrected from the dead. It's true, and you need to trust him. It's really important, and it will change you. He will change your life. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You get that? We are created to do good works. You have so much to offer. In fact, let me read to you Isaiah, just this statement from Isaiah that I found this week. Every one of God's children can say this. "The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary." Isn't that a great statement? Isaiah 50, verse 4. "The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary." You have so much to give to this world. So much. And you know, when we're in church and we talk about this, for some reason, we always separate spiritual things from the physical world. Listen, put it all together. It's all God's world. It's all life. All of it. You have experience that helps so many. God has made you who you are. He has given you particular gifts. Read the New Testament. It talks about people having, from the Holy Spirit, particular gifts that they're really just good at. You know, some of us, you know, can't mechanically do anything. And other people know everything about that stuff. God has his people everywhere. But you have been there. You've done that, and you've had the T-shirt, okay? And there are people everywhere that need your input in every area of life. Some of you are builders. I had an Uncle Joe. He's been gone for 35 years today. The guy could do anything. I remember my dad talking about his mechanical gifts. He would say, if you put Joe Fritch in a wilderness with a pocket knife and come back in 2 years, there'll be a city built, okay? The guy could do anything. But he spent a whole lot of his time talking to young men, saying, guys, look, this is how you do it. And instructing and helping and showing just the experience of that. Some of you are really good at finance, at personal finances, how to run a budget, how to handle finances, and how to be stable that way. I think of my friend Ed Santola. When I first became pastor here all those years ago, we were in a financial big problem. I remember my bookkeeper writing the checks of the week, and we would have $25 left in the checkbook. Can I say this? We always had enough. But Ed Santola came into my life at that moment and helped me so much. Helped us as an organization and as my own personal life. Parenting. I mean, so many of you were so good at raising your children and are so good. There are young couples everywhere that don't have a clue. How many girls are looking for an older woman? that has some experience on how to do this. Jill Briscoe, one a Bible teacher that I love, she and Stuart, friends of Myron. Myron knows everybody, but they're great people, English people. She said when she was delivering her first child, she was in a ward. Remember those? The hospitals that had wards instead of private rooms, like everything's a private room now. She was in a ward with a bunch of other women who were screaming, ready to give birth. And she was alone. Stuart was out of the country. She's given birth to this child. She's in this English hospital in this ward. And there was this little lady going around cleaning, this little cleaning lady. And she saw Jill Briscoe and said, "Oh, honey, don't you worry. You're going to be just fine." She said, "Really? How do you know?" She said, "Honey, I've had 10. Really? Don't leave me. Don't leave me." And that little lady stayed with her. In fact, when they came to get her to roll her into the delivery room, she had a hold of the cleaning lady's hand and was dragged. No, you got to let go of her. You got to let go, you know. There's so many girls who need love and help like this. Can I just say some basic stuff? Who knows much about housekeeping anymore? The art of that. Oh, there you go. There's a few. Well, there's a bunch. I live with the diva. Okay, I mean, you know, all of that. But folks just don't. How about cooking? Okay, it's not the cooking channel. Come on. I mean, I'm telling you, my wife can take three ingredients and make a gourmet meal out of it. It does. Her mom and dad grew up so poor. Mom could make a wonderful meal out of anything. And those are tremendous gifts and wisdom. We already talked about mechanics. I didn't know how to do anything. My dad didn't know what end of the hammer to use. He just paid for everything to be done. Debbie's dad couldn't do that. And he had to make his own way. He made stuff do. Boy, when he died, he has bins full of parts and stuff that they're going to have to, you know, they all go to recycle. I mean, he would say, "Come on, don't buy a new one. I'll show you how to fix that." What great blessing. Let me tell you, that is God's work, created for good works, to do good works. And of course, that people would know who Jesus is. We talk about that all the time. People are lost and they need us and they need what we know in this world. And how about comforting? We've been created to do good works. And Paul writes to the Corinthians. You remember the second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1. And they said, "We're able to comfort those with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." Are you the wounded? Well, then you're the called. Because only the wounded know how to help the wounded. If your heart's been broken, you have been given, I know it's horrible, but you've been given a gift. Because other people around you are going to be heartbroken. And you have this wisdom that God has given you to be able to be a blessing to other people. When Debbie lost her mom, we had to leave the next week. I had a wedding in Fort Lauderdale for the Rotrammel family, if you remember them. We had a wedding on the beach, Fort Lauderdale. It was a great time. Debbie was just broken. She could barely function. Her mother had just died. We just buried her. Her mother was the center of her universe. Guys, if your wives love their mothers and are so devoted to them, thank God for that. That is a right thing, okay? Don't take it personal. Don't get all insecure about it. That's just weird. Debbie loved her mom, and she was lost. And we went from Fort Lauderdale up to Myrtle Beach, and we went to the place, and I'll never forget Martha standing out on her balcony at the beach. She's oceanfront. She was a little woman who had been in a car accident years before and could barely walk. She very seldom left her little condo right there on the ocean, very seldom ever came out. Maybe we could coax her out to the beach some days, but there she was. It was winter and nobody else was there but Martha and Gordon. And as soon as she saw Debbie, she knew something was wrong. "What's wrong, honey?" And so Debbie broke down and told her what had happened. And she hugged Debbie for a long, long time. And then she just said, "Tell me." And so Debbie went through the whole thing of her mother's injury and the months of praying that this brain injury could somehow, you know, be fixed and she could come back to us. And she was just exhausted from the care of her mom. Martha had lost both of her parents at a very young age. She knew all about heartbreak. She was placed there by the Almighty God to help this little Greek girl named Debbie on that very day, on that very moment. The wounded are the gifted. Man. So we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Now get this. Not only are those three things, but this, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Say what? Do you ever use a Franklin planner? In the day, you know, I'm pretty scattered. I have the attention span of a fruit fly, okay? It's really bad, and I have to concentrate all the time to stay on focus, as you could tell. I was having trouble keeping track of my appointments. And Fred and Dixie Kinzer said, look, we've got something for you. And they gave me a Franklin planner, okay? It was this hard copy planner calendar. And they sent me to a class to learn how to use it and all that stuff. And I planned everything out in my planner. I had it all written down, everything, notes of all my meetings, all that stuff. They're great for that. I just love it. And somebody would say to me, we have an appointment. Am I in the book? They would say to me, am I in the book? Are you going to stand me up? Oh, you're in the book. I want you to know that the details of your life, God prepared in advance for you to do. You're in the book. He has arranged your life, who you are, what you've done, what you've experienced. All of that is being used in His plan to do good. But it's by appointment. It's not by chance. It's by appointment. If you just trust me on this, Romans 9:23 talks about those who God saved, whom He chose in advance, okay, which blows my mind. It's the same word. He prepared us in advance to do these good works, which is just amazing. So He prepared you for now. It's preordained. It's all divine appointment. Can I give you some suggestions, by the way? You're going to run into all kinds of situations. You don't have to know everything. Do you remember Job's friends? Chapter 1 and 2, they did really well. From chapter 3 on, they messed everything up, okay? There's a lot to be learned there about how to be a good comforter and a bad comforter, where Job said, you guys are pitiful at comforting. Oh, this is pitiful. Well, in the beginning, they did it right. They came, chapter 2, they came to Job. There is a ministry of presence that you have in people's lives. Just be there. Presence. My dad's friend, Lloyd, they've been friends for 75 years anyhow. They've been friends. This week, Lloyd was stopping by his handicapped daughter's condo with his daughter and wife in their van. And he was going to run in and grab something. And he thought, he's up in his 80s, he thought he had the car in park, and he didn't. When he came out, the car had rolled back into a pond and his wife and daughter had drowned. I just had to go. I didn't have anything to say. They owned Pontiac Country Club. I played high school golf there. I just had to go there and hug those people. You don't have to have any answers for that. It's the ministry of presence. There's another one too, a ministry of silence. They were present. They sat on the ground for a week and didn't say anything. And there's another thing. There's also a ministry of tears. When they saw Job, they wailed. They just wept with the one who was weeping. All right? It's a great, great thing. And these things have all been in this broken world. God has appointed for you to be in those places at that time, to use the gifts and the understanding and the wisdom that God has given you. You know, you might think that you can't do this, but you can do this. Of course you can. Moses didn't think he could do it when God said, I want you to go talk for Pharaoh for me. And he said, Lord, I can't do it. I got this problem. I got a stammering tongue. And God said, So tell me, Moses, who made the tongue? You think maybe I know what I'm doing? That's me. That last line was me. That wasn't God. But I wish he'd have said that. If he'd have said that, it would have really made it a great line. But I mean, that's the implication. Hey, I'm calling you to this, and I made the tongue, okay? So just do that. People are in a particular season of need all around you. God is giving you an appointment with destiny every day. Quit thinking so huge, like it's your job or it's your general calling of your life. And look, it's about the little stuff we do every day, moment by moment in our lives. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which He prepared for us to do in advance.
You think about that. Let's stand together to pray, shall we? Come on.
Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the direct simplicity of it all. You are so kind to us, and we're so grateful. Would you help us, Lord? The world tells us we don't matter unless we measure up to their stuff. But Lord, you've called each of us. You've prepared each of us and appointed each of us to do good within this world. Help us. Help us to take the step of faith and trust you when we find ourselves in a situation, not to escape it, but to embrace it as an appointment from you. Thank you, Lord. Thanks for Ed sharing his story. Thank you for what you did in Ed's life, Lord. Thank you for what you continue to do. Thank you for the encouragement that he is to all of us. And we ask you bless everybody in this room. Thank you for your kindness to us. In Jesus' name, all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Bless you all.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.